Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Excited to have our next guest in studio with us, Mr. Monday Night. Keith Bullock is with us, Titans legend. Keith, what's up, man? Good to see you.
It's good to see you guys.
Oh, we got his mic. All right. There we go. I think we're good.
We good?
There we go.
Yeah,
there
it is. Yeah. It's good to see you guys, man. I was excited. I knew I was coming here. I didn't know, you know, the rotation, and I was like, oh, I got my guys.
That's right.
This is going to be gold.
A former teammate of yours will be here in about 30 minutes. So.
Yeah, I know D-Mace is on here. That's what one of the things I said. I thought I might catch him, but no, that's cool.
Yeah, I saw a couple of guys, Blaine, last week that you played with, and Kevin Dyson, as I went and covered a high school football game. It's cool to see all you guys still in the area.
Yeah, you know, in our older form. But yeah, nah, there's definitely a bunch of us that are still around, and you know, we just welcomed, you know, Brett Kern to the boat.
Yep.
You know, Eugene Amano, I see him. Our kids go to the same school. So we had I think it was a couple weeks ago, the ice cream social. And there's Brett. I'm like, hey, come on over.
Join us.
Absolutely.
So you're here with Fanatics Sportsbook, which is, you know, everybody should be familiar with the Fanatics brand now, but it's a new sportsbook in Tennessee. And they're doing a really cool promotion with a jersey drop. So basically that – if you bet $50 or more in any market, you receive a credit to get a jersey of your favorite team. And I know a lot of people around here probably going to go after that Oilers throwback because it is nice.
Yeah, nah, absolutely. And look, you hit the nail on the head, and I think that's what's cool about it. You place, if you're a first-time customer, you place a bet, a wager of $50 or more. You could do more than 50 if you want, but you get – you know, the reward of $150, you know, gift certificate or credit to purchase a jersey of any team in sports. So obviously here in Tennessee, it's a perfect opportunity for you to get that throwback Tennessee Titans, Houston Oilers, number 53 with the Mr. Monday Night on the back.
Yeah.
Yo, be original, or you put your own last name on the back. But, either way, you sign up for, you know, place a bet on the Fanatics betting game app and you know, get that jersey.
It's funny. I was we were training camp, that's what it was, and D-Mace was there with us, and I saw this kid walk through with an 85 Mason jersey on, and I look at him, I'm like, hey, look, and you know, he obviously tracked the kid down and was like all excited to see that. Do you still kind of get those, like, you see that 53 that people are wearing, even though there have been other guys to come through here to wear that number, but when you see your last name in that 53, do you still get those same emotions?
I don't really necessarily get emotions. I think it's cool, especially when you see like the worn and weathered one that someone's brother had like handed down or whatever. But I definitely like seeing like the, you know, the Derek Masons, the Pac-Man Jones, the Drew Bennett's, you know, the guys that really played a lot of good football here. You know, speaking of Derek Mason, like I was a rookie, you know, in 2000 when he started to really emerge here. Obviously, he had a big punt return in 99 against Jacksonville in that game. But when his career started to come into full fold, when he started to become a complete wide receiver, punt returner, and then obviously becoming one of the best wide receivers, you know, in the league, in my opinion, for a guy his size that play in the slot, play outside, he's going to talk a bunch of junk and get the job done. You know, I think that was, you know, I don't even know how that happened. Maybe it was a contract thing or whatever, but I know he obviously went on to the Ravens and finished off and had a great career, but yeah. I know we could have used
We don't hold that against him.
We could have used Derek Mason here those years.
Oh, yeah. Look, were you 53 at Syracuse?
I was 33 at Syracuse.
How did you get 53 with the Titans?
I went to school as a safety, so I was 33 as a safety. I actually wanted number 3, but then my true freshman year, all they had was 33 because the senior had 3. Then I could switch in the spring, but all my gear was 33, so I kept it. And then when I got drafted, I was a linebacker. So I just took the 3 off and put a 5. It was either a 9 or a 5. So I didn't want to be 93, so I just went 53.
So you had the option of doing that? Fisher didn't like, hey, here's your jersey.
No. I mean, I was a first-round draft pick, so at least they let me do that. Yeah, they let me pick my number. Nice. I just picked 53. I just took the three off because I always looked at myself as a skill player. So even as a pro, I looked at myself as a playmaker. Yeah, I played linebacker, but I'm not here to make plays.
I think one of your greatest hits is when you pop Finnegan in 2008 up in Baltimore in that game. Bro. Man, that was an awesome football game because that was pure football that day.
Yeah, man, that was a tough game, man. It was a tough battle. You know, Baltimore. Yo, that's funny. We're talking about Derek Mason.
Yeah.
So let's go full circle with it. Like, so how that situation came to fruition is, you know, D-Mace, he talks mad junk and he's like making plays and that, but that's part of the game.
Right.
And he's good at it. So he was giving Cortland, a young Cortland Finnegan, the business, you know, making catches, talking to him. I remember one time he told him, man, every time you go to work, you see me in your building, you know, and I'm telling Cortland, I'm like, hey, man, because Cortland's a competitor, feisty. I'm like, hey, man, chill. D-Mace is just trying to get you out of your game. He's just trying to get – he's like, man, you shut up. Let me play my game. And I'm like, all right, he done got you. You just got a personal foul. You know what I mean? Don't make us lose. Don't put us in position to lose.
He's in your head.
Yeah, and then three plays later, another personal foul. So they get – Baltimore gets all the way down to the goal line. They ran three plays, but we gave them, you know, 30 yards and penalties, and then it just went black. He said some things. I reacted. It just wasn't a good situation. Obviously, Courtland and I are solid since then, but, yeah, that's just
– I forgot about that.
That's just, you know, the heat of the moment, the heat of the battle. I'm the general, dog. You know what I mean? let's get in line and let's get back to what we came here to do. And we all got back in line and we were able to come out of there with a win. But
that's right.
Yeah.
13-10, October 5th, 2008. That was a fun team in 2008.
Yeah, man, that's nothing we expected. We didn't expect to start the season 10-0. We didn't expect many of those things. We expected to be good because, you know, we worked for that. In the offseason, that's where teams are built. But I tell you what, it's just like in the 2000 year when the defense got Javon Curse. When the offense got Chris Johnson, you know, that was the catalyst that we hadn't had a home run hitter like that from the running back position ever. You know, obviously Eddie is Eddie. He's going to do his thing. We had, you know, Travis Henry, who was great for us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We had Chris Brown, but like someone that, here you go 90 now. And nobody's going to catch you. Actually do it three times in one game.
Oh, yes. Oh, amazing. So,
Keith Bullock is in studio with us. Yeah, and the thing about that 08 team is, like, I love – that D-line is still one of my favorites with Albert and Vandenbosch and Curse had come back.
Yeah.
Tony Brown doesn't get the credit he deserves for being a part of that. He's all – I feel like he's the forgotten one, and I'm like, I loved him.
Yeah, he brought a lot of energy. And, you know, for someone – Tony Brown's journey, he went all the way through Europe. You started it, obviously you played at Memphis, then he went to Europe, then San Francisco, then Carolina, then he's one of those people that bounced around. And what I always say about Coach Washburn is he's going to get, you know, he's going to get all the juice out of the fruit. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to get, before there was a juicer with his hands, he's going to get all, and what I, you know, and that's proof in the pudding when you say a Tony Brown, Albert Haynesworth, you know, Jason Jones, a Cindric Marks, you know, these guys went on to play other places and had success. Yep. So it's like,
didn't he have that millionaires club or that board that, like, because guys would go get paid somewhere else?
Yeah, everybody, people wanted to go, wanted to get on that board. And if I really think about all the names that he had in that room, I guarantee just about every one of those gentlemen that had aspirations of getting paid and listened to Coach Washburn, you know, got that check.
I got to tell you, I've never seen a professional football player cry until Jim Washburn one day, may rest in peace, Jesse Mahalona from Tennessee. Yeah. He berated him so bad that Jesse started crying on the practice field. And I felt bad, But Washburn was relentless. I'm sure he said things. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And you know what? And that was the challenge of playing for Coach Washburn. He kind of wanted to see, because at the end of the day, all that stuff, you should have got out of the way. Your dad should have did that. Your uncle or your brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff should have got out of here, got out of there in college, in high school, you know, between those coaches. So if you get to the pros and your coach could bring tears to your eyes, you know what I mean? But Jesse was one of those guys that he saw talent in, and Jesse wasn't necessarily at that time answering the bell. So, you know, I love Jesse. He was a great dude. He was starting to come around. Rest in peace to Jesse. But, you know, Wash is going to challenge you. And, you know, I don't know what coaching is like these days, but, you know, obviously he got results.
You're around the team some. I know you do some work with Titans Radio. You played against Mike Vrabel and know what kind of a player he was. Yeah. A lot of that same stuff we now see as a coach. So what's kind of been your thoughts with him as he's evolved from a player now to a coach?
Well, I like what, you know, Mike brings to the table. You know, as a player, obviously he's on the other side of the ball, so I didn't really get to go against – I didn't go against him at all, but I know those defenses, Willie McGinnis, who I consider one of my OGs, you know, he speaks very highly of Rabes. He says he's a foxhole guy, and that just says enough. And, you know, every time that I've met him and had an opportunity to speak with him, you know, he's been solid. You know, he's definitely a coach that – a former player – he's a leader, you know what I mean? So if you're on his coaching staff, you're going to believe what he's saying. He's not going to give you any BS, and that transcends from his players when you hear them speak in interviews and their game plan going into the week. For those listening, if you don't know, when you hear the players speak, they're reiterating what the coach said in the team meeting. So, you know, those are a lot of times those are Vrabel's words, especially – and the younger players, those rookies in those first 2 year guys are definitely reiterating whatever the coach said the message was for that week. And those messages have been solid. You know, he fields teams that compete and they're tough. And it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, this weekend, you know, the Rand Carthon era and the what's the new coordinator's name? Kevin.
Tim Kelly.
See, brain farting. Sorry. and Tim Kelly, because, you know, many Titans fans weren't happy with, you know, how the offense was running the last couple years. So being a former player and speaking from knowledge on football going into week one and just about every week, I just like to sit back, have my beer, and check out some ball.
Well, they're playing New Orleans, where you had a great Monday night game in 2007. I remember I was in the press box when you had that game, and that was one for the ages, man. That was
It was fun, man.
Yeah, it was.
It definitely was.
Drew Brees had no idea what was going on that game.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's what happened. So, like, how often do the Titans and Saints play? So, like, you're saying Drew Brees, when we speak about that game, I just don't think that, like, he really was really up on his scouting report as he normally would be, because, you know, I say that because we play Peyton Manning two times a year, and Peyton wouldn't take certain chances that Drew Brees was, you know, doing that game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because he's familiar with, I don't care how good the Titans are, I know they're going to do this, this, and this, and they have this player, that player, you know. So going fast forward to Sunday, I think the Titans can be advantageous defensively because I don't really think much of Derek Carr. And that's just because, you know, he's a good football player, but I feel like he's been overhyped and all the different things, and he hasn't won anything yet. So, like, I look at this matchup as Ryan Tannehill versus Derek Carr, and I look, Ryan Tannehill, like him or not, he's ascended his whole career. You know, he was a wide receiver. He was a wide receiver in college for 2 years. Then he got drafted in the first round, Miami Dolphins. I don't know how much, you know, that organization really, you know, supported him. He took him to 11-5 season, came here as a backup, and the Titans have had success since he's been here. So, no, was he ever supposed to be, you know, a Joe Montana or whatever? Nah. So I think he's done his job. I think, you know, this last year, it seems like it's his last year.
Right.
You gotta just play the villain, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just, you know, go out with a bang. You know, I think he can take them pretty far.
Chase, can we do the Rondé Barber question to Keith?
Sure.
Rondé Barber was here last Friday. We asked him who the greatest quarterback he ever played against was. He said, without a doubt, hesitation, Peyton Manning. In your awesome opinion, who's the greatest quarterback you ever played against?
Yeah, that's a
– Peyton?
Yeah, just because
– He knew your defense? He could
that,
call it out?
And, like, for example, right? So, there. Okay, he can know the defense, right?
Sure.
But if we're in man-to-man, we're in man-to-man. So, like, there was a play where I had the tight end, and it was Pollard, like, back in the day. And Samari had Marvin Harrison, and they used to run – Marvin would run five and in, and Pollard would run straight. He would run a seam. So, okay, I know the route's coming. So on the five-yard break, I come off my route almost like Travis Hunter did the other, you know, the Colorado game.
Yeah.
I came off my route to make the play. Peyton, I don't know how. He didn't – like, he was able to pull it, and then he hit the seam. You know what I'm saying? That's just one play. That I could think of that, like, yeah, that's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to throw the ball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, obviously the smarts that he brings to the game, he knows where you're supposed to be. We hit him on a double dog blitz one year. I actually scooped Tank Williams hit him. I scooped it and ran it in for a touchdown. That blitz never ever worked again. You know what I'm saying? So he's very astute. I definitely say so.
So it was funny growing up in Nashville. You know, obviously I remember him at Tennessee, and like he was great. He was a hero. And then you guys this was before you got here, but on the run of the Super Bowl, they play him, and it's like, okay, this is weird because here's this guy. And then, of course, joins the division, and then he becomes enemy number one with the Colts for so many years. So I remember my dad and I went to the game in 2000.
No, but you still loved him. He was enemy number one, but you still loved
him. It was hard, though, because it was like I'm Titans. I was a Titans fan. So
at least you're
like,
keeping it real, because a lot of Titans fans were Peyton fans.
Sure. And, I mean, you would see – like, they'd come to town, and you'd see a lot of UT Orange or whatever.
And that's fine.
I remember in 2009 – they play here. My dad and I were at the game, and it was a fun game. And I thought that Jeff outcoached Dungy with the calls at the end to set Baronis up for the 60-yard field goal. But what was that game like from your perspective? Because he had gotten your number, you know, the Titans' number a lot, and you guys got him that day.
Yeah, I remember that game. I actually had a pick going into halftime.
I think you did, yeah.
But that's one of the things. That's how you get Peyton. Like, any play that I made against Peyton Manning has been, in my eyes, a spectacular play, because that was like a one-handed know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because what he was trying to do before half was, you know, let's get this first down. He was trying to put them in position for a field goal. So he threw the quick out to Fletcher, the tight end, and I was able to make the play on it. And then we were able to get that field goal before half to get those points. So it was like one of those games where, like you just said, it was really the players, everybody was playing solid, and it was a coaching game. You know, nobody was really giving too many inches. Nobody was making too many mistakes on the field. So it came down to what coach was going to have the best strategy going into the end of that game. And, you know, Coach Fisher did a great job, you know, putting us in position, putting Rob Baronis in position to hit that tremendous game winner.
It wasn't 2009. It was 2006. Right?
2006.
Yeah.
That's the year they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All that. But before we let you go, I saw you at a party years ago, and you're with that guy, CSI Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Your buddy. What's his name?
Adam Rodriguez.
Yeah.
That's my dog.
Did y'all grow up together?
Yeah. We grew up together. We grew up in the same neighborhood, and then we kind of became real close best friends. He's 2 years older than me in, like, high school, ninth grade. My other boy out there, Paul Williams, we all the same crew. From New York. So yeah, that's it's interesting. We got an interesting little neighborhood, because there's like Jeremy Garlick that was on my football team. He made Super Troopers. He's like a director.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? So we got a nice little microcosm.
Is that cool to see your buddy on a show that was so popular for so many years?
You know what? I ain't never watched it.
Really?
I promise. Like, you know, I've caught it.
Right.
And I didn't tune in because, like, oh, you man. Said, it was on for so many years. And he's like a bigger star internationally. Like, if we go, like, to Europe or something like that, like, because they play it on reruns all the time
Huge.
Over there. So on basic television. So, yeah, he's a big international dude.
Fanatic Sportsbook, that's who you're with today, Keith. The jersey drop going on right now.
Get the jersey.
You can bet $50 or more, whatever you feel like, on something, and you get that $150 credit to get a jersey, whether you want it to be
Fanatics.com. Yep.
Fanatics.com. But get that 53 and get that Oilers jersey, Titans jersey, what have you. Doesn't matter. But appreciate you being here to talk about that today and to tell stories. Go down memory lane.
Man, y'all got to have me up here more often.
I would
man.
Love to.
I'm
yeah,
an independent contractor, B. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, by the way, we're leading the charge to get you on the Ring of Honor. We have for
it.
Years.
I appreciate it.
I know you're a humble guy, man, but you deserve to be on that Ring of Honor.
I'll say that Joe and I were talking about this because I think Amy has done a nice job in honoring you guys
past. For sure.
And look. Retiring 9-27, breaking her dad's rule was the right move.
Oh, word, nice.
And you know, everybody agreed with that. But to my knowledge, the only guys that are in the Ring of Honor from the Titans are Steve, Eddie, and Frank. I think the next group, you absolutely have to be in that. I think D-May should be in that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Blaine should be in that.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to see that happen soon.
Hey, you know what? Don't hold your breath, but I'm confident in the organization.
Jeff and Floyd are in, and Jeff and Floyd deserve to be in.
I think a lot of things come down to timing as well.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Look, I can't tell people how to cook their gumbo.
Right. I will tell you this before we let you go. Just Love, your store out in Cool Springs.
I appreciate it.
Came the one day you had the apron on. I mean,
you're working right hard. I'd really be back there like making waffles. Now I've moved to the hey, you know what?
You got promoted?
I moved to barista now.
Yes.
Nice.
Well done, man.
That's funny.
Keith, it's good to see you. We'll do this again soon.
Thanks for having me, for sure.
Absolutely. Mr. Monday Night, Keith Bullock in with us. Fanatic Sportsbook. That's what you can do. Download that, bet $50 or more, and you'll receive a reward credit to purchase team merchandise worth up to $150 at fanatics.com. So you can get that jersey, that 53, looking oh so good. Come back with more here. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.